Did you know that women were excluded from clinical research policy by federal law until 1993? Women belong in scientific research. They are essential. But not only that, how can we trust any of the data when it comes to our bodies if nothing used to exist? Ritual took this gap and conducted a university-led human clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy. The results? It increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. That's some data we can trust. Ritual is a clinically backed multivitamin for women 18 plus with high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. It is USP verified, meaning you can trust what you're putting in your body and know that it actually works. And only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark. Not only does Ritual take your health seriously, they are also invested in the health of the planet. Ritual is a female-founded B Corp. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. I have been through the ringer when it comes to vitamins, and that's why I love Ritual, because I can actually trust that it does what it's supposed to do, and it comes from a company that actually cares. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off. Do you ever send money internationally? I do it all the time, for businesses and for personal reasons. Because of where I live and where I'm from, I often float between US dollars, Aruban florins, Swedish crowns, and other currencies too. Luckily for all of us, sending money abroad is no longer the difficult, expensive thing it used to be, especially when you use TransferWise. Why should you use TransferWise? Well, there's one easy answer with three syllables: exchange rate. When you send money abroad with most providers, they usually don't give you the real exchange rate. They mark it up and then they keep the difference for themselves. But TransferWise is different. TransferWise uses clever new technology so you always get the real rate when you convert between currencies. It lets you send money quickly and seamlessly between over 70 currencies, and it even has a multi-currency account that lets you hold over 40 currencies and convert them whenever you like. You pay only one small upfront fee and more of your money gets to the other side. That's why The Economist says TransferWise takes a machete to the hefty fees other services charge. But you don't have to take their word for it. More than 4 million people are already saving, and you can do it too. Sign up at transferwise.com/yoga to test it out for free or download the app. That's transferwise.com/yoga or download the app. So, hi and welcome to another episode of From the Heart Conversations with Yoga Girl. I am so over the moon, beyond crazy freaking excited to welcome this week's guest on the show. An esteemed singer-songwriter, this is a real live superhuman who's written songs for Cher, Rihanna, Christina Aguilera, a bunch of cool people. I honestly think this is the first time I have a guest on the show whose songs I literally just sang in the shower this morning. Welcome to the show, LP!
Hey, how you doing? What's going on?
What's going on? Hey, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good. It's nice to be in LA for a second.
Yeah, was it a while ago?
Yeah, I haven't really been home much since January. I went from like a U.S. tour to a Russian, Eastern European, Ukraine kind of tour for like a while. And then I went on a European tour, and then I went on a writing trip, and then I came back here. And I next week for a European festival tour. So yeah, it's been a lot of touring.
Does that come easy for you, life on the road?
Yeah, it's pretty easy. You know, I mean, not easy, I guess, by some people's standards, but I think it's once you get into a rhythm, it's, you know, and it depends. Like, you know, like flying a lot is very difficult, I think, you know. But being in a bus can be like, you know, it could be cool because you just sleep all night, you know, like you get a lot of sleep. The biggest thing is sleep. If you're getting up early for flights, it's like brutal.
Yeah. No, that's my hardest thing. For me, it's the other way around. I could never in a million years sleep on a bus or in a car, but on a plane, like, it's
well,
okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you have beds and everything, so you'd be surprised. Those beds in the bus can be really just like blackout. It's like, I don't sleep in that. I have like the bougie suite in the back, which is like whole room with a big bed. But, you know, sometimes I sleep in the bunk just to get a good night's sleep. And it's like, you know, it's kind of like they call them the coffins, you know, it's just like a black box and you go in there and you just like die for 8 hours, you know, and it's kind of nice.
Like what they have at those Japanese airports, like those little holes in the wall.
Yeah.
Like chill for a few hours.
But you oddly get really like into it, you know, like once you get used to it, you can get really down, you know.
Yeah.
The hum of the motor. So the
name of this show, you know, it's from the heart. So speaking totally vulnerably from the heart right now, you know, how are you on a heart level?
I'm good. I mean, I'm okay. I'm a little bit, my rhythm is a bit off because I want to be home. Like, it's hard to schedule in downtime. Downtime's a difficult thing to schedule. And you could schedule all you want, like all the work you want, but like to just go, let's relax for a week. It's weird. You know, so I'm like, I kind of, you know, I have a difficult time doing that. And that's what I'm trying to do right now. And then I'm trying to fit in all the things. And, you know, people hit me up for sessions like while I'm home. And I'm like, I don't want to do that right now. You know, like kind of writing sessions and stuff. And then I'm like, yeah, but it's a big opportunity. Should I do it? You know, and then I'm like, I should stay home and watch Netflix. And I'm like, why? You know, I'll sleep when I'm dead kind of vibe, you know.
But eventually that happens, you know.
yeah, it's like it's hard to say no with what's too much, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, it's hard to say no when it's awesome. Does it get easier with time, you think, to just kind of drop into relaxation mode? Because I find some people are really good at that, to go from 180 to just super chill and then go again. And some people need that. I need that. Yeah. Kind of wind down time, like after a week, then I chill.
I mean, that's my yoga practice is like a major part of that. It truly is the thing. Like, you know, there'll be times when my show's coming up at 9 o'clock that night, let's say, and I'm just like, you know, I could nap or I could do, you know, an hour of yoga, and the hour of yoga always wins because it's just like it's almost like more replenishing to me than a nap, because it's just like, you know, when you get, I mean, you know, as you know, your mind is pretty much everything, you know, how you're thinking about things, like what you're thinking about is, you know, a lot. And when you calm everything down and, you know, get your body in sync with your mind in that way, it kind of has, to me, like a revitalizing kind of effect.
Yeah, I think it's, you don't talk about your yoga practice a ton.
No, I don't.
Do you think, are you a closet yogi?
I wouldn't go that far, but yeah, I don't do closets anymore at all. But like, I just think that I'm, you know, I think it's just like, it's more private to me. And like, I don't like to push it on people, but if they ask me and then ask about it, or when, you know, when people are like complaining about certain things that I know yoga would help with, I'm like, yeah, yoga really helped me with that.
How did it make its way into your life?
It was like my first record deal, my first major label deal, and I was really crazed and everything. My dad passed away and it was just a very rough time, and I just was like feeling very like I was screaming inside, you know. And I went to this place with my girlfriend at the time called Parrot K. It's just this beautiful place in like Turks and Caicos, and she was working for Calvin Klein, which owns it. So we got this really good rate. So we'd go to this really nice place, and they have all kinds of spa stuff and yoga stuff there. And I did yoga for the first time there, and I was like, I sat on a block, you know, in the beginning and the end of the class to like meditate, and I was like, holy crap, this is like the best I've felt in a really long time. And then I came back, you know, I was living in New York at the time. And I came back, I started going to Jiva Mukti, actually, pretty quickly. And then I had other places, I would come when I was going back and forth to write for my record. So I was coming, that was when I first started coming to California a lot, too. And I went to this place called City Yoga for a while, which is now Yoga Works, where I go now, too. But it's on, like, Fairfax and Santa Monica. And it was an Anusara place. And I don't know, I just kept going, and it just kept getting better and better. And it was like learning an instrument or something, you know. It's like, it was like weeding out, like, the aches and pains of things. And, you know, I played soccer my whole life, but I never, like, thought I was flexible or anything like that. So it was kind of a new thing for me, and it completely changed my body and completely changed my life.
I love that. And I love that it's such a, because it's really one of the few practices or lifestyles or whatever you want to call it that you can take with you through anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, buses, hotel rooms.
Oh, man,
know,
I've done.
Get old.
Yeah, I'm always like, I'm always on my mat, you know, in some place, you know, I'll be in like Prague or I'll be in like, geez, I mean, Istanbul or something like that. And I'll be like, I'm doing yoga here. Wow. I've done yoga like all over the world. And it's like very, and I love that we have lobby call every day at a certain time when we got to start like doing soundtrack and doing all the things. And, you know, when I get down a lobby call, I'm like ready to go. I'm like, I don't, like, I did my exercise. No one's the wiser. No one, you know, saw me in my workout gear per se, you know, and I just like, and I'm all done. And like, I don't know, it's like a really nice feeling to be, for it to be private and contained like that and still get the most out of it. You know, I love that I can do it anywhere because I used to run before I did yoga and it felt very, first of all, felt very taxing and it was difficult. You know, if there wasn't a treadmill somewhere, then you got to go outside and, you know, running in a place that I don't know with headphones on usually because that's, you know, how I like to do it. Just felt too loose, you know, I was like, too scary and too like, you know, and I'm a singer. I can't be like out in the cold, breathing in ice cold air if I'm going to, you know, it's like a whole bunch of things. And, you know, and then I just started doing yoga and I felt like I was in way better shape. I'm way more fit than running ever made me. And I got to, you know, also have a spiritual vibe with it. So that's dope.
Yeah, I think that's a super cool transition. I just started running, like I'm doing the opposite of you, and I can kind of, I'm just a few weeks into it, but I can really enjoy the kind of explosiveness. There's something about running where it's just kind of like go that I really enjoy right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think
but also now you've got like the thing with running. I think is that it's not necessarily like it doesn't give you strength, and I think the yoga does. Like it you know, like I call yoga like the microwave of exercises because it like kind of tones you from the inside out.
The microwave of exercises. I love that.
Because like the microwaves like cook food from the inside. and so I just feel like it kind of like does that. And running, I don't know, running without anything, you know, without muscle training, I don't think running really like does too much for you, except, you know, obviously you're kind of cardio shape, but I don't know, it just didn't help. But I bet like running after you're already yoga strong is kind of better.
Yeah, I think I got a little lazy, I mean, to be honest. So I had a baby, she's 2.5, and then my yoga practice went from dynamic and kind of intense, you know, to just if I have 5 minutes in the day where no child is screaming in my ear, I'm just super grateful.
Yeah.
So there's something about just sweating really fast. You know, I have 20 minutes and I can really break a sweat. I kind of love that. But something that I find, and this is something that I talk on the show about a lot, that for someone who is totally new to yoga or they've never tried it before, and then you hear, you know, oh, I found yoga at a hard time in my life, or it helped me process a challenging moment, or I, you know, use yoga as a way to move through grief or through the struggle I went through. What do you think it was about the practice that helped you in that challenging time in your life?
I think just to calm down, because you can say you want to calm down and you could think about calming down, but without actually taking some steps and, you know, breathing and all that stuff, it's like hard to articulate what's actually happening, whether you're actually calming down or not. And yoga was, as you know, I'm sure, like really used as a practice to get people ready for meditation. So it's like calming your body down like that is not something we're really taught to do. I mean, in fact, quite the opposite. And I think people equate sometimes in our culture with like calming the body down with like laziness or being, you know, sedentary, and that's really not what it is at all. I think it's, you know, it's something that, you know, when like all that stuff about, you know, dis-ease, like if you're in a state of uneasiness, you are like headed toward disease inside. I mean, I think a lot of sickness is bred out of all the chaos that we're like constantly in, and if we can like calm down and better, it just like makes things better. I don't know, for me anyway. And believe me, I, you know, it's a constant whittling away at that. Like, I'm, you know, the hardest thing about all these practices and trying and discovering these things is maintenance, you know. And that's what I like about yoga. It's a maintenance thing. You practice it, you know, or I do, every day. I mean, yeah, you miss a day or here, you know, it's not like craziness, but I think it's like, that's the thing that like makes something stick. And that's what I've noticed in music as well, you know, in writing. You have to maintain these things. And I think that sporadicness is like the enemy. So it was really worked for me.
Are you naturally a disciplined person?
Yeah, sort of. Yes, actually. Some would say I'm very disciplined, but, you know, I'm also wild. You know, I do so many things. I like work hard, play hard kind of thing. I think yoga is like one of those things that really kind of balances me out.
Yeah. I mean, it's to have that as a constant, at least for me, it's one of those things that, and I've already seen that as proof in my own life. You know, life can kind of throw literally anything at me. And if I have that as a tool that I can pick up at any moment, it just, you know, yeah, saves me again. Yeah. And
you know, and also just like, you know, the physicality of like what I do is like so much traveling and being on stage. You know, I'm on a different stage every night, and it sounds, you know, I don't think you would think about it, but I get on the stage and it's like there's all these different like angles and places, and I'm, you know, always like running back and forth thinking like, oh, I can't go there, I can't do that, and I'm like jumping around like kind of, and it's very physical in a way, you know. And I feel like there's a lot of, oddly, some balance involved, because you're trying to like get to people and work the stage in a way, and it's different all the time. So I feel like I'm using all different muscles at all times, and I'm like, you know, and also sleeping in weird beds and sitting in weird chairs. And so I feel like when I get into downward dog and I just feel my spine go like and get into place, you know, and it's so nice to, you know, it's like having tools is everything, you know. Like as a singer, you know, I'm pretty trained and I do all these exercises and scales and everything, and I would be lost without them. Like I can't hit the stage without doing them. Like those like stress nightmares that you have about like not being ready for something. That's my nightmare is like, I can't find my phone that has all my exercises on it to, you know, get to stage, to like hit the stage to be properly warmed up to sing. And that's what, you know, yoga is. It's like, it lets me do all the things I have to do, and with impunity.
With impunity. I love that. How big are the shows that you're playing right now?
They range, you know. I just did a European tour that was like kind of smaller, so that it wouldn't like, you know, the festivals could be more charged, you know, like make sure I didn't like use it all up. But, and they were like, all the shows were like, I don't know, from like 2,000 to 3,000. And then in like, you know, I did a bunch of shows in Eastern Europe that were like 6,000 to 8,000. You know, they're big. They go all over the place. In the U.S., I was doing like 1,500 to 2,500. So, you know, and it's fun. Like, I really like, you know, my favorite range is like probably between 1,500 and 3,000. I feel like I know how to work that kind of stage really well now. And I can see people when I'm doing like over 4 or 5. I feel like I just want to catapult my body out to the like last rows and kind of see people, you know. And I literally tried to do that. I once tried to like get out there, you know, and I got mobbed and it was terrible. But it's like very, like I just did one of the last shows of the European tour was like this beautiful old theater called the Olympia in Dublin. And that was like, I think like 1,600 people or something. But the way it was built, I posted it on my Instagram. It's like it's like a audience shot from backstage. And it just was such an experience. I literally got to look at everyone's faces and while they were singing along. It was like this massive, you know, seemingly drunken sing-along. Not just because we were in Ireland, but it was like really, really cool. And just like, I'll never forget it. Like I literally, it's like, it was breathtaking, you know, like kind of, I couldn't believe it was happening. And I like that, you know, like to see people and see the effect of my work or whatever.
You are listening to From the Heart, Conversations with Yoga Girl. Ladies, does anyone else out there have that old faithful bra they wear so often? You know the one. It's comfy, supportive, it looks great. I know you do, and I know exactly where it came from. If you haven't found your perfect bra yet, look into Third Love today. Third Love has created the most revolutionary, comfy, and supportive bras imaginable. Using millions of real women's measurements, they took breast size and shape in mind for an impeccable fit and incredible feel. They offer double the number of sizes that most brands offer, an incredible 70 sizes, with cups from 8 to H, including exclusive half-cup sizes and bands up to 48. You can easily find the perfect one for you by taking Third Love's Fit Finder quiz, and you'll be among 12 million women who have found their perfect size to date. Their team of expert fit stylists are also dedicated to helping you find the right bra for you, and they're available every day via text, chat, or phone. In 60 seconds, your order can be placed and on its way to your house. With Third Love, the details make the difference, from premium fabrics to expert design. They use ultra-soft fabrics, lightweight memory foam cups, straps that won't slip, and tagless labels to avoid itching and create the most comfortable bra you will ever, ever wear. You have 60 days to wear your bra, wash it, and put it to the test. If you don't love it, you can return it, and Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. Try a Third Love bra today and surrender to the support it will give you. If you don't agree, returns and exchanges are always easy and free. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra out there for everyone. So right now, they are offering my listeners 15% off of your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/heart right now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off of your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/heart for 15% off today. Want to know one of my favorite sounds? Here it is. That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language, I guarantee it'll be one of your new favorite sounds too. Be a better you with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you have learned in the real world. I absolutely love using Babbel. Their convenient courses have helped both me and my husband learn real live conversation skills in a different language. He's learning Swedish, of course, and I've been trying my hand at French again. It is so easy to learn how to order food, how to ask for directions, speak to merchants, and all without having to consult language apps while on vacation, or in my husband's case, living here in Sweden with me. Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off of your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, at babbel.com/yoga. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/yoga, spelled babbel.com/yoga. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I think that something that so clearly shines through when you when I listen to your music and your songs, and I think especially the last album, it's you have this ability to convey feeling in a really, really beautiful way. I can listen to just a song I've never heard before and I get goosebumps just with a line. Like, there's something, I don't know, I think you're super unique in that way. Thanks. Do you consider yourself a really, you know, vulnerable person? Do you have your heart on your sleeve all the time, or is it when you sing or when you write?
I don't know. You know, she'd ask my fiance that question.
Yeah, what does she think? She's all,
I don't know. She thinks I'm like, you know, she thinks a million things. Why don't you ask her? No, I mean, I think I'm a very emotional person, you know, but like, I think I'm at once like kind of guarded and open at the same time. But I just like, when it comes to music and me singing, it's like my most emotional, and I guess vulnerable. I don't have a problem being vulnerable musically. Maybe personally I do, but I don't know. It doesn't like, it doesn't bother me. I really, you know, like, you know, the whole, my album that I'm touring with right now called Heart to Mouth, that title in itself is, you know, just about how I said it in an interview one time, and I decided to make it the album title, because I just felt like it was an apt description of how I write. And when I'm on the figuring out melodies, I feel like when I know something's right, it just feels like this direct line from my heart out my mouth, you know? And I feel like I'm really kind of saying what I want or what's going on with me, you know? And so I just like look for that. And then I guess that, like, I feel like as I, you know, the better I get at writing, whatever, I feel like I know when I've like kind of tripped upon something that is going to be, it's going to affect me for a while and my audience, you know.
Do you ever get, you know, is there such a thing as a vulnerability hangover when you write or when you, when you share that piece? Because it's so personal. I mean, I'm sure it must be so personal. You're sharing this piece of your own heart. And then now there's millions of people out there that you don't know who are resonating with it in their own way. Do you ever feel like it's...
Well, that's the key, though. That it's in their own way. I don't feel any... You know, I feel like for me, I'm like, I'm just being the conduit for them to reach their own emotional kind of place. I don't think that I'm sitting there and they're like, you know, I'm sure some fans are like, you know, going, oh my gosh, she went through that with so-and-so, you know, like, you know, but it depends, you know. Sometimes, you know, I sent a song that's going to be on my next record to a friend, and it's not about me, it's actually about a friend, you know, that more so the person I wrote it with, we were talking about what she was going through, and then we just kind of, I went off on this like thing about it, and she was like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine, it's not that, you know. And you know, I mean, I've written, there's some things like that are, it's hard, I think it's hard to write about, you know, your lover sometimes, you know, and they like look at you like, really? And I'm like, yep. Sorry about that.
But it must be, I mean, crazy too, somehow. I mean, can we talk about Lost on You? I mean, yeah, this is a song. I mean, I just saw a billion streams. Mm-hmm. A billion. That's a million millions. I mean, probably like half that's a million funny. Of those streams are mine. But is it insane? Like, does it just, can you wrap your head around that? That it gets, what's it like having a song that's so big, that's so out there everywhere?
It's the record, the billion streams, but there are like, you know, most of them are probably, you know, a good portion of them are lost in you, but
okay. Yeah. I thought it was this song. Okay, yeah. Okay,
but it's amazing, you know. And I know, and the song keeps going, you know, like I hadn't been to Mexico or South America yet, and very recently, well, the new record hit Mexico too, but also Lost in You was like number one Shazam for like 2 months in a row, like just like a month or two ago. And all my shows, like I had this huge gig at Viva Latino, and people were going bananas for every song I played. And I was just like, wow, I couldn't believe it's like, you know, 3 years after Lost in You came out. And you know, now it's also going down in South America. And so it's exciting, you know. It's like, it's that song is just like really like kind of seems to penetrate people, and I think it's like everybody's got their song that gets them into the bubble, you know. And I think that song is, I'm really happy it's that song, because it feels like it just shows all the things that I'm about.
What inspired you to write it?
Well, I was in, you know, my ex, actually, because I was in this relationship. It was like we were like going on 5 years, and it was like my deal with Warner Brothers, like my record before that, was kind of like, it could tell, like shitting the bed, basically. Like, you know, everybody was kind of like, the wind was going out of the sails of the project, a lot of people getting fired from the label. And you know, and my ex, I didn't know it at the time, but was kind of grappling with the fact that she was also having like feelings, like love feelings for somebody else, but I just didn't know where the hell she was. Like, she just seemed very absent in our relationship. And I was, you know, so everything was kind of like slipping through my hands, you know. And it just, like, it came from that, you know. It was like, and it was written like a few months before we broke up, and then we broke up, and then we got back together and kind of tried to work it out without living together and stuff. And it was just like a nightmare kind of scenario. And but I think that you know, that song is, I'm kind of fascinated with the feeling, those first feelings of like wanting to leave someone, you know, like when, you know, you think about all the stuff that leads up to and comes after a breakup. But what is that? What happens when that final molecule pops and you go, oh, I need to break up with this person? In your head, it's like kind of like I get that vision of like an astronaut like falling off the shuttle and just going into space. You know, this kind of like, oh shit, you know, this is, you know, it's going down right now, you know. And I think everybody can kind of relate to that, that kind of romantic kind of feeling of sadness, you know, that it's like you want to save it, but you kind of know it can't be saved.
But don't you think it's a little bit like that with, you know, any transition? I think as human beings, we don't do so well overall with endings or with transitions of of any kind.
No, I mean, I hate transitions of all kinds. Like even, you know, everything is so like dramatic with me. It's just like, oh, tour. Oh, the end of tour. Oh, going back on tour. You know, it's like, like relax, shut up, you know. But yeah, I'm always like, it's like, but once I get in anything, I'm like, yes, this is great. But like, I really, I'm constantly like kind of freaking out over like, you know, getting back into the swing of whatever the hell it is.
But it's kind of like the yoga practice too. I mean, the transitions, like that moment for me can be the most, I love that the space in between A and B, you know, how can I get myself to that place in a different way maybe? Or why does it feel so differently this day when yesterday it felt great and today it feels icky? Or it's kind of that practice of just being okay with uncomfortable.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's the biggest thing that yoga has given me, like, is being comfortable with being uncomfortable. You know, I think I definitely, you know, that's what I mean about like, even like heat, like it used to be like, oh, I can't be hot, I hate it. You know, and now I'm literally, it's like July and I'm like getting my hotel room. I'm like, click off, no AC. And I don't, you know, be there like a day or two and it'll be off. And people are like, are you out of your mind? I'm like, I don't feel it, to be honest. You know, like, it feels right. But yeah, you know, like, you know, what I do is, as much as I love it, you know, I definitely didn't like grow up and look in the mirror and go like, I definitely have to be seen. People need to look at me. You know, like, that wasn't my objective for going out into the world and doing this. So, you know, I am legit uncomfortable, like kind of being seen all the time sometimes, you know, and I've made my own world and I'm very confident in it. But, you know, like I went to this fashion show yesterday and I just all these crazy, cool, like fashionable people. And you just feel like once again, like, ooh, I feel awful, you know, like I'm uncomfortable in my head. But, you know, it's just things you got to do, you know, it's like even like being on national television, you know, in all these different countries, in my country, whatever. That part of things was really hard for me to like kind of do. And I think, you know, my yoga practice and all the things like had a part in me being able to like deal with that and feel comfortable. Because it's the only way to get your stuff out there, you know? You want to be a musician, it's like you got to do all the things. You don't get to pick and choose, you know? Like, I have a friend that he wants to have people singing his songs, but he's like anti-social media, doesn't want to be on social media. And I'm like, you know, that's not possible, right? He's like, yeah, I know. I said, unless you make it a thing, unless you're like, hey, my thing is there's no thing. Yay.
You know, like, my thing is there's no thing.
Try to find me. Like find Waldo in like life.
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of cool going that way too. I have one of my sisters. I have, I have six sisters. One of my sisters, she's a tattoo artist. She's super cool. She's like at another level of, you know, I think she thinks like my world of yoga and family life, it's like I'm on another planet than her. Yeah. And when she was just starting out as a tattoo artist, I was like, man, I'm going to help her out and I'm going to, you know, blast her stuff on social media, get her like, you know, a bunch of followers and, you know, she can kind of grow her stuff. I have never seen her more upset in my life. She's like, delete that. I do not want to be promoted. I do not want to be known. Like, this is not, I don't want all these yoga people in my space. You know, I'm doing this on my own.
Yeah.
And now it's like 2 years later and she's, you know, really has a whole thing going for herself, her own way. So, I mean, for sure, you can do things your own way. But it's hard if you want to be home alone and not talk to anyone and get your stuff out there. Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think there's a difference between... Because, I mean, life in the public eye, of course, must be super challenging at times. Do you think there's a difference between, I contemplate that sometimes between being looked at versus being actually seen, you know, where in some, even in my, you know, little yoga bubble, when I can teach a class and I can have 1,000 people in that class and feel super vulnerable, intimate, in tune, everything is amazing. But then I have, you know, yeah, I'm talking, being interviewed for something, and there's 10 people there and I hate it. And I feel like they're all looking at me and I'm like, why? I don't know what to do with my hands, or am I standing weird, or
like, yeah, I mean, I just did this, I did a charity event for LGBTQ at the center in New York City for L'Oreal. I sponsored it, and it was like this really cool event, you know, to get people to donate to the LGBTQ center, you know, to like fight for human rights and all these things. I had to sing in front of like 300 people at this little dinner, and they're all like, you know, badass, you know, legal people and fashion people and all these, you know, really great minds, and just not necessarily not fans. That's after like literally coming home from like a sold out tour and kind of being like, oh God, here we go, you know. But it was amazing, you know, and they were very receptive. And but like beginning that, I was just like just filled with dread, you know, and just like, you know, it's like constant things like that. The night before, I was like doing a private gig where it was just like a guy's birthday party that he hired me for, because, and you know, just 35 of his friends sitting on the grass, you know, and I was like, wow, you know. And again, after like playing to like all these people, and you just kind of, it's not always comfortable, but I feel I've gotten much better at my inner world of like kind of just being present and being, you know, I think, you know, we're coming up the way I did in this business, and how it took a while, and all the disappointments and the ups and downs, and, you know, gave me this like invaluable perspective on the whole thing in general, on just how meaningful it is to me to even be here. And so, you know, that plays into it. And I'm just like, if like 35 people on a lawn have a good time, great. If like 300 people at a charity dinner have a good time, that's great. You know, and it's just about, I think entertainment is really about making people feel comfortable. And it's pretty hard to make people feel comfortable if you're not like having some level of comfort somewhere, or if you're not able to like, you know, I have had times where I'm very uncomfortable inside, but I can like kind of convey an air of like comfortability. So I've gotten good at that. Basically, I'm telling you that I'm a fucking liar. How's that?
I know exactly what you mean. No, but there's also that entering that space of flow where like, okay, I'm kind of uncomfortable. This feels a little bit awkward, but you know, I can enter this space where I can just kind of flow with it, and it works.
And it's a constant, you know, it's literally a constant practice. I feel like I'm like, wow, I really enjoy putting myself in uncomfortable positions, don't I? Like that's what being, I think, an entertainer is. I don't think it would be really hard to not do that, because that's the only way also growth happens, you know. It's like the same thing with like, you know, your practice and doing, holding, you know, poses for longer or whatever, and it's like, it's like, oh, this is so uncomfortable right now, I want to stop, you know. But that's the only way through to like greater strength and discipline, you know.
You are listening to From the Heart, Conversations with Yoga Girl. As many of you know, I have been taking my health super seriously lately. I took some tests with a doctor of functional medicine, and I cut out so many foods that were affecting me poorly, and my morning vitamin routine is finally on point. There is one well-rounded vitamin that I absolutely love, one that fits perfectly with my seriously healthy routine and with my daily ritual, and it's called Ritual. Ritual's Essentials is the obsessively researched vitamin for women that contains the nutrients most of us don't get enough of from food. And the part I love the most is that all the nutrients are the cleanest and most absorbable form. There are no shady additives or ingredients at all. In the morning with breakfast, I take 2 easy-to-swallow capsules, and I'm provided with the 9 nutrients I need to support a strong foundation for my health. Ritual is the vitamin reimagined. The company was started by a woman who couldn't find a multivitamin on the market that wasn't questionable. She began from the ground up to bring women everywhere D3 to omega-3 and fill the gaps in our diets in a healthy and transparent way. Ritual is traceable and transparent in more ways than one. The super cool oil and beadlet design is completely see-through, and for obsessive label readers like myself, all of Ritual's vegan-friendly, sugar-free, non-GMO, gluten-free, and allergen-free ingredients and all their sources are 100% out there for the whole world to see on their website. For your added convenience, Ritual is subscription-based too. For $1 a day, Ritual is delivered right to your door, no strings attached. Keep on top of your health and start a new Ritual today. Better health doesn't happen overnight, and right now Ritual is offering my listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. So fill in the gaps in your diet with Essential for Women, a small step that helps support a healthy foundation for your body. Visit ritual.com/yogagirl to start your Ritual today. That's 10% off during your first 3 months at ritual.com/yogagirl.
I think your story, I think, is really interesting. I think if you look at it from the outside, really with anybody who's in this moment, you know, in a moment of success or where everything is kind of exploding, and it can look really polished and easy. Where in, you know, reality, usually to accomplish anything, it's anything other than a straight line from you know, A to B.
Yeah.
What was your path, you know, specifically in the music business?
I mean, it was the long and winding road, basically. You know, I've had like 7 record deals in the States, like 3 indie.
7, that's
yeah, 3 indie and yeah. 4 majors, and, you know, and counting, you know. I had 4 record deals, and then I, you know, took 2 years off. Like, I didn't take 2 years off. I just thought the artist thing was over, and I was going to be a writer for other people, and that was it, you know. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Well, it's, you know, it's nice. I don't have to, like, I don't have people worrying about my image or worrying about, you know, what I look like all the time and what kind of music.
And that was a thing then?
What I was going to seem like. What's that?
And that was a thing then?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, your image is, because it's in corporate, like your image, I don't just mean your, like, you know, visage or whatever. Like, I mean, your, like, your place in the musical, what you're about. Like, you know, like when you see an artist, they have their thing a lot of times, you know, and you can tell, you know, when you start working with other people doing it. Like, that's another thing, you know, my perspective got broader when I started working with other artists, you know, and I'd see like, you know, someone that had it all, you know, looks, beauty, youth, talent, but they couldn't find that thing that made them different, or that, like, that, you know, that bunch of songs or that, like, kind of that vibe of their music that made them stand out, that gave them a thing. And, you know, you thought you were going to, everybody's behind it, you know, this kid, this person is going to be da 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 da. Nothing, you know, never hear of them again.
And what do you think it is, timing, or is it?
It's a lot of things, you know. It could be anything. It could be their A&R guy got fired. It's, you know, I tell this story all the time. I have to tell it, like, you know, Lost on You, I was on Warner Brothers. Everybody started to get fired during my record. When I wrote Lost in You, what I was just talking about before, where, like, the record was, like, going. I had a successful EP that went well. I was touring. Things were going well with that. They basically took me off the road because they wanted to finish this record. But the producer that wanted to do it, who was the chairman of the label, who had a million other things to do before it, kept, like, kind of pushing it back. And also under the, you know, kind of under this guise of, like, you know, I'm just being cautious because I want you to write bigger pop songs, you know, whatever. So I just kept writing songs. But then it was like another 2 years later after this EP had done well, and it was like kind of lost steam a little bit, and I didn't tour. But, you know, I was just doing my thing, just writing, you know. And over that time, everybody got fired. And then I was asked to come in to play new songs that I had for the new people that were in charge. And I played them Lost on You. I played them this song called Muddy Waters, which has been synced like 25 plus times, and then a song called Strange. And they were like, oh, these are great. Thank you for coming in. Click. And I was dropped. And then I was like, wow, I don't know that I could, you know. I think we were up to 5 record deals at that point. And I was like, well, I guess that chapter's done. I guess I'm done, you know. What else could possibly happen, you know? And then I got signed by a small label called Vagrant, which I always thought was like a record label I'd like to be on. And then we were just going to see what happened. We're going to put it out. But, you know, they don't have a lot of money, so we put it out. But the cool thing was is that then, Greece being the first one, the country, called up and was like, contacted me on a DM through Instagram of all things, and was like, hey, I really think
Greece, the country, contacted you?
Yeah, like a label in Greece, you know, and they were like, hey, you know, I couldn't get in touch with your label, they didn't hit me back, you know, do you, I think your music would really work well here, can you give me your people's information? So I did, and then, you know, they had a whole talk and all this stuff happened, and I thought they were talking about for film or television. And then, you know, next thing I know, my manager is telling me that it's charting in Greece. And then that, you know, and Lost in Me was almost like number one for like almost 2 years. They still like play like, you know, I had two other hits there, Other People, and I think When We're High or something like that. And all of my songs are still in the top 100, like rotation there. And but then it moved to Italy and France and all these other countries. But if I was on, you know, the truth is that if I stayed on Warner Brothers, I wouldn't be sitting here because they wouldn't have pushed my records. They wouldn't have allowed Grease to put it out, and they wouldn't have put it out there. They just wouldn't. That's not what they do. That's not how they do it. You know, when you're on a label, that like, usually you got to hit in America first or wherever. You know, they don't just like drop kick your song into like a random country like Grease. But because I was on a label that was small and wasn't worldwide at the time, or was like, you know, loose about it, they allowed me to license my song out to other countries. And then, you know, and when you think about this, and you know, I tell you this lengthy story because you asked me if it was timing or anything else. No, it's bullshit like this, you know, and it's great, but it's also, you know, that song could have been never happened. I could be sitting on my computer. Meanwhile, I've got like someone, I swear to God, in like Bulgaria or something like that, like crying and looking at me like, so you must have known when you wrote this song that it would be. I was like, I didn't know shit, dude. I got dropped for this song. Like, literally dropped. I had a guy, this president of this label, he listened to Lost in You, and then he goes, you want to hear something great? And I was like, oh, of course. Please. He goes, check out this song. He plays me a song. Me. A song by a man who's not gay about being gay.
What?
I mean, shit like that. You can't make this shit up. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to play me a song about being gay by someone who's not gay after I play you my songs that you're going to like judge whether I'm on the label or not? Wow.
Oh my God.
Mic drop. Oh, what the fuck? So yeah. So like stuff like that, you know, I can't like these kind of stories, you know, again, I just tell them. And my biggest accomplishment in my life, and it may not sound like it through this story, but it's not being bitter. If I was bitter, I couldn't do this. You know, that's what my practice, my spiritual practice plays into that, you know. But, like, these stories, like, they must be told because I want other artists to have some faith and to, like, just shine a light and be like, one man's trash is another's treasure, as they say, you know. And I'm just so constantly aware of that. I'm, like, living the what-if life, you know, and from a couple of different sides of the coin, but like definitely on this one, like, holy shit, this is like the thing that you're like, the father, what is that, the ghost of Christmas past comes and usually tells you like, you know what could have happened? This, you know, that's my life, you know, and I'm really super hyper aware of it. And, you know, I think my practice and my whole thing plays into that because I can appreciate everything in real time, you know, it's nice.
You are listening to From the Heart, Conversations with Yoga Girl. As you know, I love to cook. And over the past few months, it's been a way of meditation for me. And recently, my love for cooking has taken one of its greatest challenges yet. When I got the results from my recent health test, and I realized I'm almost not allowed to eat anything anymore. It's hard to be creative when all of your favorite tastes just kind of go out the window. Luckily, I love trying new things. Recently, I whipped up an amazing 3-bean chili with quinoa. I add chickpeas, kidney beans, a bunch of veggies, sweet potato, my favorite herbs and spices, and of course, Bob's Red Mill quinoa. It's the perfect complete meal. Right now, there's nothing like healthy, satisfying comfort food that's getting me through these challenging times of limited menu options. What you put into your body is just so important, as I recently learned firsthand how my foods have been affecting me. That's why I'm so thankful for companies like Bob's Red Mill that produce quality products that I can actually stand behind. They make it possible for me to eat healthy and still cook delicious foods for myself, for Dennis, and Lea Luda. I've had to cut out all gluten products, and for anyone with celiac disease or gluten sensitivity, all Bob's Red Mill's gluten-free products are processed in a 100% gluten-free facility to ensure no cross-contamination. It's such a relief to be able to feel safe and confident when I'm eating. Thanks, Bob's Red Mill.
Head over to bobsredmill.com/yogagirl and enter for a chance to win some fun Bob's Red Mill goodies. One winner will be selected by random selection each month.
One man's trash is not just another man's treasure, but the whole world's treasure, literally. And I think it's so easy to in that moment just say, okay, well, you know, I tried it. It didn't happen. And here's another person telling me it's not going to happen. Okay, I'm just going to give up. Do you think there's that fine balance between knowing when to keep pushing and when to let go?
Yeah.
Was there a moment there when you felt like you did, okay, I'm surrendering, like it's not happening. And part of that letting go is, you know, the process of being picked up again.
Absolutely. Oh yeah. I think you got to keep that open. I think also, you know, like to me, it's just like you move on, you write more songs. One of the biggest, and I watch a lot of artists like get it in and out of this zone, that feeling sorry for yourself zone, is really detrimental. And it's really hard not to fall into that as an artist sometimes, because you get this like, well, if the world doesn't want to hear my stuff, if people don't want to listen to me, then screw it. you know, and then the like this sort of like hopeful, I wish they would anyway, you know. And I went up and down in that cycle many times, you know, before things happened. And again, like, you know, I think the through thread for me in this conversation is that I kind of, you have to get back in it, you know. You have to maintain that positive feeling, that kernel of positive feeling, wherever it is. That's not to say you're not going to be like negative sometimes. Like, you know, like I, like my girlfriend would get like upset with me when I get in a negative thing, and I'm like, yeah, but that's my process. I have to, like, you know, I can't be like, hello, kids, like all the time. Like, I don't have like, you know, fucking four fingers on each hand, man. I'm like a real person. I'm not a fucking cartoon. I got to express myself, and that's how I, you know, write, and that's how I get into place, you know?
Yeah, the process. Right now, do you think that, do you have something really specific at the front of your mind that you're inspired by right now when it comes to writing, or, you know, getting out of bed in the morning, or?
Yes and no. You know, I'm like, I have that beautiful, one of my teachers once said, one of yoga teachers, you know, the practice of being empty is like ready to receive, you know, kind of thing. And it's really cool. It's a, like, I love that feeling. Like, I feel a little bit like sometimes, you know, I just feel ready to like kind of create. I went to Greece a week or two ago because I just didn't have time to come home. So I like made it a writing vacation kind of trip. And I was just so inspired, you know, and I just feel really ready because also, when I was like, again, my perspective plays into it. I had those 2 years to be just a writer where I really I never saw all this coming. Not for a second. Definitely not. I was just a writer, and I was just like kind of hustling and trying to write as many different things as I could. And, you know, when you're a writer, nobody's like, oh, do you feel like writing today? You don't feel like writing today? Do you want to go to a movie? What do you want to do? You know, they're just like, get in there and write. You know, you have to write. Like, you know, they'll send you to Tokyo for like a week. And like, you know, did you get your 8 hours of sleep? Good. Start writing right now, you know. And they want results. And I think that really made me a stronger writer, where I just like, I get in and do it. I'm not like kind of waiting for inspiration. I think that like getting down to it is just getting down to it. And, you know, and sometimes it's awful. Like, you know, my failed attempts are my days where I'm not, and sometimes, you know, they yield some kind of fruit, but like there's days where I call it eating a sandwich with your eye. it's like it's getting in there, but it's not comfortable, and it's gross, and it's horrible. You know, I don't really know where to go on those days. I just kind of go through, you know, like that's like life in general.
You just do it. Yeah. Did you read that book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck?
Of course. Yeah. It got a little bit, I got about 3/4 of the way through, and I just like his, you know, sometimes a writer's language is like, I just felt like he was saying the same thing, but I got the gist of it. Yeah,
I also didn't finish it, but there's that part where he talks about inspiration, motivation, and action. But yeah, I resonate with it. Like, you sit around and you wait to feel inspired, and you're like, I'm not inspired today, so I'm not going to do the thing. Like, where there's no inspiration, I don't feel creative.
Yeah.
But actually, it's starting. Just take action, and then before you know it, suddenly, you know,
totally
inspiration's there.
I've gone through 4 hours of like dead zone, like nothing, and then all of a sudden, boom! Like the song comes. The thing comes, and you just have to get through it, you know. I mean, that is life in general. That's like, you know, your yoga practice in general. You know, you start it and you're like, okay, some days you're just like, whew. And then you like round that turn of like, you know, you're like 10 minutes away from Shavasana and you're like, awesome. Wow. Yeah. You know, and the whole perspective, like just like everything comes into like light and you're just like, I'm done now. Now I feel like now I can go out and have 5 beers and a hot dog. No, I'm just kidding.
Whatever sometimes. It is. I mean, you never regret that. You know, no one, it's like no one ever leaves the yoga class saying like, oh, that was a waste of time. You know,
oh, totally. Really... Absolutely. I mean, except once in a while when it's a class that wasn't, like for me, if it's a class that wasn't hard enough, I'm just like, yeah.
If it wasn't hard enough. Do you ever do restorative, like anything?
Yeah, then I just have a conversation with myself and be like, stop being such a turd, you know, like restorative is good. You did something good for yourself. Like, you know, you don't have to be like, what is it, flatulation? I don't want, is that a fart or is that like hurting yourself? I don't remember what it is.
Fart.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. All right, man. So final question I have for you. It is a big one. So I'm a big one. I mean, they're all big. I'm all about service. And I think the part about yoga that a lot of people overlook, or I think maybe it takes sometimes people a while to really understand, it's a big piece of yoga is being of service and kind of that the practice and getting on the mat every day. It's, for me at least, it's a really beautiful way for me to fine tune and get back into the core of my own heart where I know I have a lot to give. So kind of weeding through the bullshit so I can realize that actually, you know, a lot of things are overflowing in my life and I have a lot of power to change someone's day or change someone's life. What bothers you about the world right now? If you could change something, really inspire change, what would that be?
I mean, I'd imagine it would begin with tolerance, you know? I think it's hard to believe that intolerance is like still there, let alone that it's growing, you know? And people are getting more and more intolerant toward our differences. And it's like a direct relationship with like how many differences there are. You know, it's like more and more people are like expressing themselves in such different ways and finding their truth in, you know, how they act and how they look and how they feel and what they will accept. You know, and there's lots of people that really have a problem with it and are really putting, you know, the screws in to try to stop it. Just trying to like, you know, they're trying to like stop a flood, you know. It's not going to happen, you know, and I think that I'm interested in diversity and just, I want to see all kinds of people. And I feel like, you know, trying to represent and trying to bring those differences to light and just allow people their dignity, you know. I mean, I think that's the biggest challenge, I think, for me in, you know, trying to do that and trying to bring that through, like, you know, how I am, like, you know, what I do and what I'm about, you know, and inclusion, you know, trying to like include all kinds of people and ideas in my life, you know. I know that's not really answering your question per se, but
no, it is. Do you think that, I mean, I think you're clearly doing this work already out in the world, and I mean, bringing people together and unity and music is such a powerful way to convey that message too. Is there anything you would like to leave our listeners with in terms of how they, you know, today at home could help inspire that change?
I mean, I think in some ways, and I don't mean this to sound like a cop out, but I feel like you really, people that don't understand even themselves, I feel like are the least tolerant. I feel like it's your job to be who you are. It's like wear what you want, do what you want, say what you want. You know, I'm not saying to like go out and like hurt people through doing it, but like try to like at least have a side practice. You know, again, this is like, you know, yoga girl and the whole thing. And I think, you know, your practice is like kind of peeling away the layers of the onion to understand yourself. And it's a step in the direction to understand who you are and a step toward empathy and compassion. And that is your job. Like, that's everybody's job. And if everybody did that more, they wouldn't be as concerned about other people being different because they'd understand that they have all that lying inside of them as well. So you know, I encourage people to be themselves. I mean, I feel like, you know, in some countries I go to, I can tell, like, these women have never seen someone living as freely as me. And they freak the fuck out. And they're like, I want that for myself. And I'm like, you should fucking get it. Go get it, girl. You got it, you know? And I'm like, I'm nothing if, like, encouragement for people like that. And I'm not, you know, my thing is, like, more about trying to lead by example. I'm not, I hate telling people what to do. I really do. Like, I'm neither alpha nor beta. Like, I hate being told what to do, but I hate really telling people what to do. And I think, you know, but I'm confident, and I will walk in a room, like, just as confident as anybody. I don't, you know, I have nothing. I don't care really what you have more than me. I'm like, I'm happy for you. I just like being who I am, you know, and I think that's what I'm striving for, to show people it's possible.
And I mean, there's nothing more inspiring than someone living their authentic truth, you know, whatever that is. If it's genuine, it's going to be attractive. You're going to see it, you know, when that person walks in the room, it's going to be real. Yeah. Thank you for being such a beautiful example of that for all of us. You have, how long are you in LA right now? When is your next?
I leave Wednesday.
Trip. And where can people catch you if we have any listeners across the world right now waiting to find you somewhere?
I'll be everywhere from Istanbul to, where am I at? Till I,
Latvia, Estonia.
Latvia, Estonia, London.
everywhere.
Moscow.
Okay, hell yeah, everywhere. I want to be everywhere. I'm going to do my very best to get off my little island and catch one of your shows as soon as I can.
Anytime, I'd love to see you. And thank you so much for having me today, and thanks for what you're doing. I mean, it's really cool. You know, yoga, I get annoyed sometimes because it's like kind of sometimes it, like people get so like, oh, it's like, you know, something that people in LA do. Your mom does it, or whatever, you know, but it's way more than that. And it's like, I think it's the path to yourself. It's one of them, you know, and it's a really beyond that. And that's why I was in the beginning, I said it was very personal, because it is. And that's like, I try to stay away from, like, you know, it being trendy or whatever it's been, you know. It's certainly not trendy. It's like over 2,000 years old, you know. So it's just trying to get back there.
Absolutely. Coming home again and again.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. Everybody listening, you can find all of LP's tour dates, new album, everything on imlp.com, or search LP wherever you get your music. And I'll see you guys next week.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode, and a huge thanks to my amazing guest, LP. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to listen and subscribe to other great episodes of From the Heart Conversations with Yoga Girl. You can find all of them on yogagirl.com, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or anywhere you normally get your podcasts. Of course, don't forget to leave a review while you are there. Thanks to the folks at Cadence 13 for their production work, and thanks to my sponsors, TransferWise, Third Love, Ritual, and Bob's Red Mill. Please support them the way they support this podcast. I'll see you next week.